From the heart of Montana, this is Big Sky, Small World, Carroll College's student podcast. Big Sky, Small World, I can remember
Welcome to Big Sky Small World. This is Alan Hansen. I'm advisor of the Carroll Student Podcast. I am in the studio with Ella Kinsley, Carroll student, who is the Associated Students of Carroll Vice President this academic year. Ella, why don't you introduce a little bit more about yourself and then we'll chat for a minute.
Sounds good. So as you said, I'm the ASCC Vice President this year. I'm a senior here at Carroll studying political science and international relations on the pre-law pathway. I'm also on the soccer team, which is really awesome. So
that is awesome.
Yeah, if you ask me how much free time I have, I'll say about an hour a day.
Yeah, and thank you for spending part of that hour with us. I know you're about to head out on a road trip too.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
I wanted to talk with a student because this week has been such a such an interesting one, horrific one. We were informed sometime during the day, I think, right? That Charlie Kirk, who was visiting a campus in Orem, Utah, Utah Valley University, was shot and killed. And there was also a school shooting in Colorado, Evergreen High School, west of Denver. So we kind of had those things happening at the same time. The Charlie Kirk shooting, of course, has dominated media. And because it had happened on a college campus, I think, you know, we orient to that maybe a little bit more on that basis as well. What has the student mood been like in the wake of those events?
At least from my perspective, I would say just one of kind of shock. It seems as though students even, because obviously Charlie Kirk was one of, was a known figure in our political arena. A lot of people didn't know him personally, but just because you don't know someone personally doesn't mean that you can't grieve in a way.
Oh, and yeah. Right.
And so I do think that so many people, especially those who agreed with him or even those who disagreed with him, you know, it's a life loss. And so I think it's just been a solemn mood. This has been just a very solemn week with 9/11 anniversary of 9/11. And, you know, there's just, and then these two other major events happening. I remember when I was in my internship on Wednesday when I saw I have New York Times subscription to inform my email when breaking events happen. And so I got the notification that he had been shot. And that little bit in me, and I was like, well, he's been shot. He's not confirmed dead. So hopefully everything's okay. And I mean, I haven't seen the video yet and I don't plan on it because
it's just the same boat. I haven't seen it and don't really need to.
Yeah. From what I can tell from others' descriptions of the videos, it was just horrific and really sad because his family was there too.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah. I think that in our broader arena of politics as a nation, there are some people who are in this saddened time with, at least with Charlie Kirk, basically, you know, being murdered, being assassinated. Some who disagreed with him are clapping. And it's just, I think that that's really sad. No matter whether you agreed with him or disagreed with him, it's a life lost. And so I think that the general mood a little bit just with this entire week, as I said before, it's just one of sadness and kind of grief, even though we aren't experiencing it. I don't necessarily know if the fact that it was on a college campus has affected many here at Carroll, but that is something Utah is not that far away. It's not something that happened over in New York or in Texas or something. Like this is something that happened pretty nearby. And so I think there's a little bit of the unease, but I think honestly it's just shock.
Yeah.
At least from what I'm feeling of, I can't believe things like this are happening.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an unsettling time.
Definitely unsettling.
Has it come up in any of your classes?
It actually hasn't. Granted, I haven't had many classes since
that's true.
Wednesday, so perhaps the next week. However, it's come up in every single conversation that I've had, basically, with people that I've run into. I had lunch with a friend who went to Carroll, who was a poli-sci student as well. And of course, we talked about it because it's just one of those things you're like, did you see this? I can't believe this happened. And again, when I was at my internship on Wednesday for a law firm, we talked about it as well because it's just the, it's just something that you kind of have to talk about. Yeah. And it kind of made me think of back in the 50s and 60s with JFK's assassination and like MLK and Malcolm X, totally political
lines,
violence. And so I think within that realm, looking at historical political violence and what we're seeing today as well, I do see a lot of parallels. And I think a lot of those could come up in classes in the next few weeks.
Yeah. And in the classes I've taught every class I have except for one since Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't really brought it up. At the end of class, for one of my classes, I just mentioned that I wanted, you know, class to be a safe space. And if people wanted to talk about it, then we could. But I didn't leave time that day to talk about it. Felt a little fresh. Still felt a little fresh today.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe next week I'll maybe clear the platform for talk and see if people want to talk about it. I don't know. I teach first year classes and they're not poli-sci, so
yeah,
it's not really subject matter stuff.
Yeah, I think after a week or two, the feelings will have settled and hopefully they'll find the person who did it.
Right.
And then it'll kind of feel more like something we can talk about in class,
yeah.
Kind of an examination of it. Right now, it's just, it feels like my heart's just heavy and sad for everything happening right now. But yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think that's an important point, is to get a little bit of critical distance from it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe be able to help people sort through feelings if they want to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It is, you mentioned September 11th. I was thinking about that this week too, of course. The attacks on the Twin Towers and elsewhere happened 2 weeks into my first job, my first teaching job.
Mm-hmm.
So it was quite a, and I just moved from upstate New York to Texas. Mm-hmm. And I remember we just watched the news coverage during class. There was nothing else to do, right? Except cancel it.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of go from there and figure out what to do. But we needed critical distance then to sort through the rhetoric. We need critical distance now to sort through. Like, I think it'll be important when they apprehend the person. The unfortunate part is that ideology really takes center stage in people's reactions, like political ideology. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
So, you know, someone's response is coded by their ideology. And I think you said it right. It's a life lost. And it's political violence, which undermines freedom of speech.
Oh yeah, totally.
So anytime this happens to whomever, it's a tragedy because of the lost life and the implications for what we think we are as a nation.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was talking about it yesterday, how in my classes talking about freedom of speech and freedom of expression and the Second Amendment, it's just so hard for me to see people thinking that violence can be used as a form of freedom of expression.
Yeah.
It's just, it's really disheartening because freedom of expression in our, this is kind of my political science hat coming on, but in our history, I mean, the founding fathers, the freedom of expression was more so that we could say that we don't like the government and be able to criticize through the press and criticize the government with our speech and not be scared for retaliation.
Right.
And now people see freedom of expression sometimes as far as these extremes, not everyone, obviously, but the extreme people using this, their Second Amendment right to be violent towards other people, that's not protected whatsoever. And so it's just really unfortunate within political violence thinking that it's okay, and it's not. It's not okay to think that that's your freedom of expression. You are expressing something, but thankfully that's not constitutionally protected. And so, but yeah, I was talking about that yesterday as well.
And this happens in a context in which freedom of expression is getting attacked on multiple levels. You know, mm-hmm. you talked about retaliation. So it's a difficult time, and probably an important one for us to figure out who we are as mm-hmm. we move forward. Yeah. The unfortunate part is I know some people are waiting to see who the culprit is, to figure out how they feel mm-hmm. about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's super unfortunate, right?
That is unfortunate.
I'm hoping that this is a phase, that we see everything through some sort of political ideological filter, and we can move past it mm-hmm. somehow to see things through kind of a different filter, or at least put that filter to the side a bit. It seems like it's right at the front and center with a lot of things, and to hear people, you know, on either extreme. And in the reactions to this, you know, filtered through political ideology, it is disheartening as well as tragic.
Yes, I agree. I think that you make a really good point of the filter, that it's that everything seems to be with the filter, or the when I forget how many weeks ago it was. It feels pretty recent, but also distant. The shootings at the Catholic K-12 school as well.
Yeah.
That was really saddening as well. And that was also one of shock. I mean, I know we talked about the Evergreen School, but I mean, that one was really disheartening. I think going to a Catholic school now, thinking of, I mean, those unfortunate poor kids were like in mass and just... It was really sad. And so, but some of the backlash that came from it because of who instigated the violence and certain features about them, it kind of had the two filters. It was, you know, this person did this because of this, rather than there were lives lost, or it transitioned from the kids towards who did it. And I think that unfortunately that might happen with Charlie's. And
you could argue it mm-hmm. has. I mean, that very event has seeped into people's gut reactions, public, unfortunately, some of them gut reactions to this one,
mm-hmm.
right? In terms of who they suppose did it and why. All of that is really maybe beside the point. Mm-hmm. You know, there are bigger problems than whether or not my particular political ideology is supported or undermined by a particular shooting. Mm-hmm. I think the shooting probably is the bigger issue.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate that some people resort to violence. It's just really sad. It's sad. It's really unfortunate how low people can. Their mind can dwindle to resulting to violence. I mean, we see violence and crimes all the time, but especially in such large scale and nationally known violence, it's just, it's really sad.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping we can learn something from it collectively.
Mm-hmm.
It seems difficult to say that it would bring us together. It hasn't. These things... don't seem to anymore. But hopefully we can find some
common ground.
Some way to move forward that improves things for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be.
Well, thanks, Ella. Thanks for coming in. Appreciate the student perspective. And have a good road trip. By the time this airs, you'll be back.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I am here with Director of Communications for the Associated Students of Carroll College, Olivia Wilds. And we're going to chat for a few minutes. Olivia, why don't you introduce yourself a little bit more?
Hi there. My name is Olivia Wilds. As Dr. Hansen had said, I am a senior at Carroll. I am studying history with minors in international relations and Catholic studies, and I'm from Western Washington. I think that's pretty important about who I am. So,
very good. Well, that's an interesting group of majors there. When you have a double major, the senior year gets a bit scattered and busy, doesn't it? Because you have seminar courses and capstone type.
Yeah, and I'm a peer minister.
Okay.
So I'm an ASCC, I'm a PM, and I'm a senior. So okay. That's a pretty busy bunch.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to have a couple of students in. I thought officers of Associated Students would be a great group to draw from. We talked to Ella, and we're talking to Olivia, just about the mood on campus, I guess, among students. In the wake of the events of last week, on the very same day, we had an assassination of Charlie Kirk on a campus in Utah, and we had a school shooting at Evergreen High School near Denver in Colorado. So it was a lot to take in.
Yeah.
What did you gather from those around you, and really sort of yourself included in that, in terms of first reactions?
When I first found out that Charlie Kirk had passed away, I was in the car with my friend, and I like knew who he was, and like I had watched some of his videos and like heard him talk before, but I just like was really shocked. I was really shocked. And like, I think I would have been shocked if it was like anybody who was similar to him, who like just spoke about politics and like owned what they believed in. And I almost cried because I was just like, that's really scary. Like, sometimes I forget that we're like mortal, like we're not going to live forever. And like, I forget that sometimes some of us are not lucky enough to die from a natural death. And that was really shocking to me because I was just like, oh my gosh, like this guy was on social media one day and I will never see him show up again. Like, that's just odd to me. Like, that was kind of scary to me that like in an instant, like it can be gone. Like, yeah, that was the scariest part to me. And a lot of people that around me liked Charlie Kirk, and or some people didn't even like him, but they were all really shocked. And like everybody just seemed really off and like their minds were full and fuzzy. And I think that kind of like obviously overshadowed what happened in Evergreen High School. But I also really took that to heart because I know somebody who's from Evergreen, Colorado. Oh. And that was really shocking to me because I think so much of it was focused on Charlie Kirk. And I think to a certain extent, us as students or like us as Americans in general have become so used to school shootings, unfortunately.
Yeah, kind of desensitized, aren't we?
Yeah, like we're really desensitized. And so people were like, oh, that's really sad. But like, that didn't happen to me here. And yet I know somebody who's from there. And while she's here,
yeah,
like she's from there, and that's really scary. So that also kind of brought me back to reality because I was just like, dang, that could happen to us here, which is like something terrible to say. But like that was a public school, and I get we're private, but a school shooting happened at a private school like less than a month ago as well.
Right.
So there's that too. There was just a lot on my mind, and like 9/11 being the next day didn't really help either. That really made my mind full too, because my parents, like growing up, they really wanted me and my sister to like realize and like understand the importance of 9/11 and like what occurred. And it just made me really sad that like on November 12th in 2001, like America was so together. Like that was like the most united and like patriotic the U.S. has been in so long. And yet on 9/11 this year, the day after September 10th, like the United States was so divided, and like people were celebrating like Charlie Kirk's death. But then other people were like really sad and like really taking it to heart. And it's just, it made me really disappointed at the same time about where we are now. So.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It feels like we're, the circumstances are quite different, right? From 2001. Back then, I was just starting my first job as a professor in my first semester. And it did feel like for better and worse, we united against a common enemy, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
It's a little bit easier to conceptualize the common enemy when, you know, others from a different nation did it, right?
Yeah. And,
you know, it's not impossible to unite against a common enemy now.
Yeah.
Political violence.
Yeah.
But we seem to be really hung up on the ideology of the person who perpetrated the violence instead of the violent act itself.
No, I 100% agree with that. It's way easier to get hung up on their politics than the person and like what they did. I 100% agree with that.
Yeah. It is unfortunate that we don't rally around one another against political violence.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. That's something I like witnessed on social media. Like so many people were like, oh, he was a Republican. He was a conservative. Like he deserved this. He deserved that. And I was just like, like at the root of him and like who he was a follower of Christ and he had a family and he had children and he was utilizing his right to free of speech. And like he was doing it in a pretty, I don't know, sometimes like a very bold way. But I feel like when it comes to politics, you do need to be bold. Like you do need to own it. You can't really be in a gray space when it comes to politics anymore. Or we just don't really see that. And like people just like tiptoe around the idea of it. And yeah, I don't know. People just forgot who he actually was and was just focusing on a title in front of him or what he talked about the most.
Well, and we could say that about anybody who suffers at the hand of violence, right?
Yeah. Is,
you know, it's easy to stay desensitized if we just put labels on people and we don't think about their humanity.
Yeah.
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 It's really too bad. And this is a man, and you know, and part of it also is, you know, you mentioned this before that in terms of first reactions that there are people who didn't like what he said a lot of times, right? Who mm-hmm. didn't, whose ideology didn't align with his and or even opposed it. Even vehemently,
mm-hmm.
but that shouldn't keep us from being saddened by the act.
Yeah, because like in reality, it could have been anybody who spoke up about politics. He was just the one that was like chosen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it could be anybody. And I think a lot of people are like so hung up on the fact that he was using freedom of speech and they keep forgetting like what the whole First Amendment is. And it's like freedom of religion and like so many other things. And I think people were like, oh, it's just freedom of speech. And I was like, no, this could lead to so many other things. Like there could be so many other reasons to have pain or violence inflicted on you. Mm-hmm. Like it's not just speaking out about politics. It could be anything that you could be taken out for, which is terrible.
Yeah, it is. It is a human violation in that sense. And ideally that would supersede any other consideration.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe there's hope for us. Maybe we can come together around things that we do agree on.
Yeah.
If we can find them. Yeah. You know, moving forward, we're in a new week now. I didn't address it in my classes on Wednesday or Thursday or Friday. And I didn't address it today, being Monday. Has this come up in any of your classes?
Yeah, it was brought up in almost all of my classes. On Thursday, we actually had like a full conversation in class and like didn't go over classwork because it was just a really good conversation. The professor really wanted to let us speak and like say how we were feeling and like talk about honestly anything. And it like developed into a really good conversation and I'm grateful for that. Other professors brought it up, but we didn't go that deep into
it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did in the class in which you did talk about it, did it align with the subject matter at all, or was that beside the point?
We actually had the conversation in my Christianity, Judaism, and Islam class.
Oh, okay.
But the professor thought it was important to talk about it. She asked us like, where do we go from here? Basically, and it was really open-ended and there were a lot of different answers. Like it varied from stricter gun control and maybe even like not allowing guns to be used anymore or to be possessed by citizens like us, or it was like people just need to raise their kids to be more loving and empathetic and like understanding and open-minded, or like teaching children to not be afraid of guns, but to know that it's a tool, not a toy. Like mm-hmm. it varied. It went all over the place. So, yeah. Okay.
Did you feel like it helped you personally sort through things?
I mean, I don't know. It like helped me understand other people better, but it didn't really help me unpack anything because yeah. I was still a little like just stunned, like shocked.
That's one of the reasons I didn't approach it last week. Didn't broach the subject. That is, it felt a little raw. So I'll look for a spot to let students speak. I really think that that's an important thing that you yeah. said, was letting the students speak about it. Regardless of the content of that conversation, that impetus alone, right? That opportunity seems really valuable.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. And I also, like, I really value that the professor let us talk about it. But at the same time, like you said, it was so new. It was so raw that I think a little bit too much of personal passion or like emotion got injected a little yeah. too much, where it wasn't really just talking about the subject or the event itself, but like our own.
Yeah.
Biases maybe even got put into the conversation a little more than they would have in a different time.
Yeah, academics might call that critical distance. Yeah. Just get a little distance from it.
Yeah.
Be able to sort through.
I agree.
Very good. Well, that is the question though, right? Where to from here? The killing of Charlie Kirk is particularly poignant, I think, to young people, because regardless of whether or not you found his methods and what he said, right, the way he said things and what he said, whether or not you agreed with any of that, you can't disagree with the fact that he was intent on reaching young people.
Yes.
So I could see how that one might hit a little different.
Yeah, especially because so many people in my generation are on social media. And like that was the main way we like knew of him or like mm-hmm. heard him speak, or like we watched like reels about some event at another college campus.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I think it really like struck home, because a lot of us, whether or not you agree with him, he did show up on your social media probably at least once or twice. So there yeah. is that
presence.
Yeah.
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 Very good. Well, I'm hoping that where we can go from here includes good places.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish you well, Olivia, on your senior year.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Big Sky, Small World is sponsored by the Carroll College Communication Center.
Helping the Carroll and Helena communities with presentations, multimedia, and podcasting since 2020.
Find us in the library or email Director Alan Hansen at ahansen@carroll.edu.
This is Alan Hansen. So why don't you introduce yourself? I have a guest here who's very important to Carroll College.
Hi, my name is Eric Rose. I'm the Associate Vice President for Enrollment, so I work with our admission team and our financial aid office.
Eric is one of the people who gets students here, who helps get students here.
That's right.
We are at the club fair, and I would imagine that clubs are pretty important for the vitality of a student campus.
It is. It's one of the things that sets a campus like Carroll, that is mostly residential, much more traditional, apart from schools that are, say, a two-year college or more urban in nature. We just have a lot more connectedness at Carroll.
Yeah, I can see that. With that connectedness, is it safe to say that students who are involved in clubs are more connected?
Now, there's a lot of good research that shows that being involved on a campus community, such as being a member of a student club, leads to higher retention rates as well as higher student satisfaction and ultimately better graduation rates. So students who get involved, especially early on, are more likely to persist at school and more likely to find academic success.
Very good. Were you involved in student clubs when you were in college?
I was. I was in an international student association. I was also part of a Japanese student association. I did a weekly conversation club And then I was part of student government.
Wow. So I'm interested in the Japanese club. Was that before you went to Japan?
It was. So it was.
So you were interested?
Yep. So I was taking Japanese classes, and it was one of the ways that we could get additional conversation practice.
Okay.
So it really was just to try to help out with my already struggling Japanese grade. I was not going to excel on the written portion of any test, so being much more proficient at listening and speaking.
You leaned into conversation.
That's
now,
right.
did that experience, how did that play into your going to Japan?
I think it had a really positive impact on my application for the JET program, so the Japanese Exchange and Teaching Program. They are looking for people who were able to communicate with Japanese people, had a base understanding of the culture, but were still very much able to portray American life, be good ambassadors for English, which again, my pretty, meager Japanese ability was a benefit. They're not looking for fluent speakers, but people who want to drive communication.
Very good. Student clubs, non scuole sed vitae.
That's right, not for school, but for life. One of the great parts about student clubs, when we're talking to our prospective students, just having such a vibrant campus and all of the different options at Carroll, we have just a really wide range. They go from like board games and esports all the way through to different student interests. Some are much more connected to academic programs like our Collar Scholars with our anthrozoology program, as well as some that are more athletic in nature like the lacrosse team.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for stopping by, Eric. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.
Okay, so far, what's been your favorite part that you've seen of Club Fair?
I thought the climbing club was cool.
Okay. Do you guys want to introduce yourself first?
I'm Maddie.
Okay.
I'm Gigi from Colorado.
Okay, and are you guys like freshmen?
Oh, yeah, we are.
Okay, nice. What was yours, Gigi?
Probably, I think I really like the Paralympics one.
Okay.
Working neat. With the community of Helena just sounds really cool.
Yeah, that's neat. Okay. Have you guys signed up for like any weird ones yet?
Not really. I don't think so.
Mostly a lot of like the sports ones and then just like the outdoorsy ones where you can really just get out there and meet people.
Okay.
Yeah. Same.
Have people been like guilt tripping you into like signing up for their clubs?
Yeah, kind of.
A little bit.
Yeah. Okay. Nice. Is it overwhelming? Do you guys feel overwhelmed by all the clubs?
There's definitely a lot of them, but I think it's fun.
Yeah. Are these like clubs that you guys would have like had in high school?
Probably not. I don't know.
Yeah, not at my high school.
Yeah, not at mine.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, do you guys have any like comments? Like, how's freshman week been? Like, first year?
It's been pretty good, I would say.
Yeah,
it's been pretty cool.
Okay.
Just kind of like meeting everybody and then like just learning everything and doing everything you can.
Yeah.
It's been really fun. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like favorite part? Like you have like a favorite class?
I like earth science. It's been fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm really liking like my calc class. That one's been a lot of fun.
Nice. Cool. Yeah. Well, thank you guys. I won't hold you anymore.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hello. So who am I here with today?
Abigail.
Hi, Abigail. What year are you in?
I'm a freshman.
Nice. Are you part of a club at all, or have you chosen kind of where you wanted to go into for a club? Or
I just signed up for rock climbing club.
Nice.
And I'm looking into camp and things like that. So
nice.
I'm excited to do that.
How has your experience been just kind of gazing around all the different clubs and stuff here in the upper cube of Carroll College?
Yeah, it's been super low pressure. I'm a freshman. I didn't really know how this would go.
Yeah.
But it seems lots of fun. People are super welcoming. Just low pressure and exciting, I guess.
Cool. What particularly really like excited you about camp here at Carroll?
I really liked that they had a bunch of different activities available and that it was free for all the students. No. Free is a big word for me.
Solid. Did you kind of have certain expectations of what you were kind of coming into? Were you a little nervous about coming into this club fair space? Were you a little weary of it? Were you super excited for it? Like, what were you kind of feeling coming into this kind of environment, like, so early on into college?
So from what I knew of Carroll, I knew that it was going to be a great community, but also a lot of work. And so I really wanted to sign up for as many fun clubs as possible to kind of ease up the pressure and hard classes, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so coming into this, I was a little nervous. I was like, am I going to find a club that's going to allow me to come and go when I need to versus when I need to study? And they've met my expectations. I've been able to sign up for some really fun clubs and find some clubs for some friends.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sitting down with me, Abigail.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
And here we are.
There's that voice.
Yeah, just like old times, right?
I've been missing you.
I've been missing you too. It's been a while since I've been in the class.
You're in the class your entire freshman year.
Yeah, I did it twice. I didn't even realize the second time it didn't count for credit.
It didn't?
No.
Well,
because I already took it.
No, but you can take it up to 3 times.
Really?
Yeah, we need, okay, so.
Okay, because I definitely wouldn't have taken one of the other comms classes.
Yeah. Okay, let's get that fixed.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. Okay, that's for after this particular segment with Oliver Morris. So
Yes.
So Oliver, famously, you had one of the more popular segments we've ever had on Big Sky Small World.
Yeah.
And
that's my claim to fame.
Yeah, tell us about it.
Yeah, so I am Oliver. I run the Prickly Pear Project podcast that is now its own standalone podcast on Spotify and other platforms.
Oh, we need to hook into that.
Yeah. I would say vulgar-ish segment. It's basically where I used to get this orange and prickly pear, like almost like a seltzer drink. It was like this soda, sugary, sparkling water thing. And I was so obsessed with it, I turned it into its own show. I just interviewed guests, and I gave it to them, and they'd tell me what they thought of it, and then I'd ask them really deep, uncomfortable, personal questions.
That's true.
Yeah.
If you want to hear, do your guests still, like, low-key despise you, or?
Yeah, we're like forced acquaintances, most of them. Most of them are on the cross-country team, which is the sport I'm involved in at Carroll College, but I do my best to branch out to other people. I try to improve my demographic. I don't try to stick to just, you know, men on the cross country team. I try to branch out from there.
That's good. Am I the only oldie you've had on?
I want to say yes. I've had a few like older students on the podcast, but yeah, you're probably the only old guy I've had on the segment. I would change that. I mean, there's other people at school, especially that I'd want to interview, like Dr.
Absolutely.
Nolan.
Oh, yeah. He'd be awesome.
He'd be awesome. I feel like I could get some good stuff from him.
Yeah.
Awesome. So.
So the pod's still active?
Yeah, sort of. I recorded some episodes this past April, as you know, and I've been editing those very slowly.
Okay.
I have finished one of the 5 or 6 episodes that I recorded. I recorded 6 episodes. I only have 5 recordings, but that's not a big deal. whoever I miss, I'm going to be like, yo, sorry, didn't get that.
That wasn't for posterity. It was just for fun.
Yeah, it was just a fun little experience. Yeah.
Awesome. So we're at the club fair.
Yeah.
Are you involved in any student clubs, or is it just cross country?
I am involved, sort of involved in a few clubs. I attended a lot of clubs freshman year. I was in the swing dance club.
Okay.
I was in the spike ball club.
Nice.
I was in the board game club, sort of. I was a few others. A few others I forget the names of, but currently, I'm not super involved. There's actually the Collar Scholars Club. My girlfriend runs it. So okay. I do a lot of help with that on the side, just helping her out because
that makes sense.
She has a lot of responsibility there.
Honorary member.
Yeah, I'm like an honorary member. I'm not super involved. I joined the pre-PA club a long time ago because my team captain on the cross country team told me to. And
okay.
I have no relation. I'm a psych major. I don't have any use for that. But I was like, yeah, you know what? Why not? So I'm still signed up for that somewhere in my email logs.
Okay, that's a really robust schedule.
It's more than you probably thought, right?
It is. Yeah. More than I thought. Yeah. That's cool that I sampled the clubs.
I was a pretty dedicated swing dance club member for a long time. I went there most of freshman year.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was just a mingle?
I'll tell you this. If you want to, like, find a girlfriend at Carroll College, swing dancing is a pretty surefire way to do it.
You know,
at least make good friends of the opposite sex either
absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've been noticing ways in which youth is wasted on the young around here, right?
Yeah.
So one of them, like, there are classes like gender communication.
Yeah.
The women mystics. I walk by the women mystics. It's like 24 women.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't you take that class if you're a dude?
Yeah. I mean, and that's why I took gender communications last year because I was like, you know what? Straight up, not only is this a requirement, I could probably use some of this information.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. Especially, I mean, at the time I had a girlfriend, I still do have the same girlfriend, but
sure.
Especially if I didn't have one, like, that's a great way to figure out, hey, what am I doing wrong?
That's a really good
point.
How
do I put myself on the market even?
And in that class, they'll tell you.
Yeah. Shout out Charlotte Jones. She knows what she's doing.
Awesome, awesome class and professor.
Very, very good.
Very good.
I was pleasantly surprised.
Okay, so tell me how the cross-country team is, and I'll get you out of here.
Yeah, no, for sure. Cross-country so far, so good. The new freshman class is hilarious. They're,
awesome.
They're funnier than my freshman class, and that's saying something.
You got some prickly pear talent there?
We definitely do. I need to find that stupid drink again so I can get some of these people on there.
I'll be on the lookout.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It's on Amazon right now. I can find like a six-pack for like $20.
Okay.
No chance.
Okay.
I don't know. I
think,
like,
I've mentioned this before.
Yeah.
But I'm going to put it like our 13 listeners are going to lock me in with
this. Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to buy you a six pack this semester.
That would make my whole life.
It's coming.
Better.
It's
coming. Really appreciate that.
Okay.
I like how you use locked in. You have kids. Are you getting more familiar with the slang for maybe your students?
A little bit. I understand the skibbity a little bit, you know?
Okay. Yeah. That's... I just physically convulsed hearing that. That is... Oh, man. I don't know. I'm an old soul, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not really familiar with what all the kids are doing nowadays,
Yeah, well, you know, I flew too close to the sun on that one. So.
Maybe a little bit. Maybe a little. Hey, it's all about the recovery, though.
It is.
Yeah.
It is,
if
we can recover. So the cross-country team's good.
Yeah, first meet is on Friday.
Nice.
2 days.
Okay.
So
where are you going?
We're going to Bozeman for a 5K.
Nice.
It'll be super cool.
Okay.
I'm excited to see how we do. I'm excited.
Awesome.
I put in a lot of good training in the summer, so I'm really excited to see how that pays off, or if it pays off.
Well, we'll be watching that. We'll be listening for new Prickly Pear Project episodes.
Stay tuned. They're coming out slowly but surely.
Awesome.
All right. I'll make sure of that.
Thanks, Oliver. Great to have you.
Thanks, Dr. Hansen. Great to see you.
So I'm here with Yatsiri Zavala. Are you a junior or a sophomore?
A junior.
You're a junior. Yeah. So I had you in class 2 years ago.
Freshman year.
Yeah, okay. So we're going to talk about student clubs because we're at the club fair. But I want to know how your program's going. I believe you're pre-med.
Yeah, I'm in the pre-med club.
Okay, that's the club you're in. That's perfect. Okay, so tell me about being pre-med. How's that been for you?
It's been good. I've liked it so far. It's stressful at times, but it's worth it, I think. It's fun.
You're still along that career track. You're still thinking about doing that and planning it, so that's good.
Yeah.
What does the pre-med club do?
Well, we try to meet up and we do a bunch of different things. We'll talk about, like, schools or, like, how we can get shadowing and shadowing hours and clinical hours and how we can get involved with the community. But, yeah, it's, like, every meeting is kind of different. I feel like it's information that is useful to us for preparing to apply to med school.
Okay.
And then sometimes we will do fun activities, or we'll just go in and talk, or we'll have cookies or pizza, or it's just, it's different all the time.
Nice. So do you find that your friend group kind of intersects with the pre-med club then?
No. All my friends are in different areas of study.
Okay.
So I'm the only one, I think, in my friend group that goes to the pre-med club.
Well, that widens the circle quite a bit, so that's nice.
Yeah.
Plus, you're getting to where you're a junior. A lot of stuff starts happening in terms of applying for med school, doing MCAT, all that stuff. So
yeah.
I'd imagine the club's useful for that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And I've actually been kind of bad about going to the pre-med club. So I haven't been going as often as I wanted to. But this semester and, like, hopefully the rest of my time here, I will go a lot more often.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you're committed. All of our listeners now have your commitment that you're going to be going to the pre-med club.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks for stopping by, Atsiri.
Yeah, thank you.
Have a good semester.
Thank you. You too.
I have another guest. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Patrick Harris, Director of Student Activities at Carroll College.
So, Patrick, it's so great to have you here. This is the student club activity. What does this mean for incoming students?
So, tonight is club fair, and we've got over 40 different clubs here. It's an opportunity for our new students and also our upperclassmen to walk around and see all the clubs that are at Carroll College and talk to some of the people who are in those clubs and find out if that's something that they'd want to join or even try for a night or two. And it's a way for us to get our students connected socially, allows them to create some friendships at Carroll College. So it's a really exciting night.
Awesome. What does being in part of a club mean to a new student?
So it's funny because at Carroll College, we know that if you're connected in your smaller groups, you're more likely to stay at Carroll College. So it's really important to students because they make those connections. We retain the students at Carroll College. And so whereas the student who's going to sit in their room and not get connected, we worry about because they can be isolated. And if you're only going to class and then studying and not doing anything else, it's not a really good balanced life to live. We want them to get out and socialize and to live a balanced life and to be healthy. And that has to do with classes, of course, but also being social and also going over to the HAC and working out and then getting your sleep. And so it's all about having that balanced life.
Those are full days.
Yes, exactly.
Very good. Were you involved in clubs at Carroll?
I was. I was a part of the soccer club. At that time, we had a gaming club at that time as well, and I was a part of that.
Oh, that's cool.
Yep. And definitely was a great way for me to meet new people and make new friends.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Patrick, for stopping by.
Yeah,
appreciate
thank you.
It.
It's a lot of fun.
Okay. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So, tell me about your club. What club are you guys joining? I see you both have Special Olympics shirts on, so talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we are both on the board of Special Olympics. I am the Public Relations Coordinator.
And I'm the UCS Coordinator.
Nice.
And just really excited to get into the activities this year, my first year on the board, and I'm really excited to get involved into basketball and just a little bit more of the sports and just some fall activities that we have going on.
Yeah, so I've been on the board and in the club since freshman year.
Nice.
And we're also both unified partners, which means we play with athletes with special needs in the local community.
Fun.
It's separate than the club, but we're connected to the Helena Halos team. And I'm also just really excited for this upcoming fall season and just to spread inclusion even more on this campus.
Nice. So what kind of fall activities or events do you guys have kind of coming up that you guys are really looking forward to?
Yeah, the first one that comes to my head is we're doing pumpkin painting this fall.
Yeah.
And then we're also participating in the Alzheimer's Walk, which I'm really excited about because it gets the Helena and Carroll community put together. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, sure. And then we also have the basketball state tournament coming up in November. So that's going to be really fun.
Nice.
Teams have been practicing all fall, and then athletes get to show off their skills that they've learned. So yeah, that'll
super
be a lot
cool.
of fun.
What is each of your guys' favorite part about being on the board of Special Olympics or just being involved just in general? Like, what's the best part about it for you guys?
I would say kind of just getting to meet a big spread of people. Like, there's a lot of students on there that I would never have met if I never joined the club, and it's so inclusive, and it just feels great to be able to participate in something that kind of just brings a smile to your face every time you get to participate.
Yeah, I agree with Abby. It's basically the best sports for Unified Partner. It's the best sports practices I've ever been to. I was a high school athlete, and I can't say that I smiled as much as I do when I go to practices. And I joined the club thinking I would serve others, but in reality, I get more from all the athletes than I'm giving to them. So in a selfish way, that's why I love it. But it's just also spreading inclusion on campus is important.
Awesome. What about the inclusion between Helena, the Helena community here in Montana, and Special Olympics here at Carroll? What is kind of the most important aspect do you feel like bringing those two together you feel makes a better society here and a better just community in general?
I'd say don't be afraid to get involved. I mean, you'll see us out in the community this year. We'll be selling raffle tickets for Special Olympics. So come say hi when you see us at your local grocery stores and maybe buy a ticket. Just ask to get involved. I think that's the biggest thing that can help spread inclusion in the local community too. Don't be afraid because you don't know anyone in the club or you're nervous. You've never done a unified sport before. Just jump right in.
Awesome.
I feel like that was a great way to word it because I feel like it's such a welcoming community that it's as simple as just going up to and talking to, and they'll answer any question and they'll get you involved in something real quick. So it's a lot of fun.
Awesome. Cool. Well, thank you guys so much for doing this for a few minutes.
Yeah, that was
super
thank
cool.
Thank you.
Big sky, small world, like an high mountain.
Thank you for tuning in into Big Sky Small World. Theme music is by Alex Coulter. Follow us on Instagram at bigsky.smallworld.